I'm so glad to see your faces.
Same.
Me too.
And we're off to see voices. The wizards.
Yeah. It's been a hell of a week.
It's been a hell of a week and a crappy day on top of it.
Yeah.
Not for me. I've had a nice, restful day.
Oh, good. Good.
So I'm glad.
How nice for you.
Glad y'all have jobs. I quit my job. We're living in a world where Everything Everywhere All at Once has won Best Picture.
Yes.
And a bunch of other awards deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting. That's not something I think would have been an option even a decade ago.
Surely not.
Maybe even 5 years ago. I don't think that would have been an option. Like, you know, The Matrix wasn't even considered, right? So it's like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would. I think it would have, you know, patted them on the head for it, kind of like being John Malkovich. Mm-hmm. Although that got some noms as well, but like that was
same year as The Matrix.
What?
Same year as The Matrix.
Same year as The Matrix.
99. Yes. Good year for movies.
Good year.
I think it's the best year of film. I'm sticking by that as of now.
All right.
I mean, I'm not saying the best movies ever came out in 1999. I'm just saying
as a year collective for film. Year.
Look at it.
Year.
Check it out. Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah.
Welcome to Theater Theater. The theater podcast for theater nerds made by three theater makers from the L.A. theater scene. I'm Jebali Bashan.
I'm C.J. Merriman.
And I'm Scott Leger.
Thanks. Each week we get together. Thanks for committing to the bit with me.
You got
it. Each week we get together to discuss and debate the definition of theater through various lenses. And this week we're doing a mini-series. We used to do this mini-series, and we're going to keep it going because we like it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's fun.
I was looking forward to this one.
Agreed. Now... Pam was going to join us. We announced that she was going to join us. She can't make it for this one, but she is going to join us for the other three. Labyrinth, Moulin Rouge, and Rocket Man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very exciting. But this is original movie musicals.
Yes.
So these are movie musicals that were movies first.
Yeah.
Before they were on stage.
Yes.
Right.
Scott was incorrect about Oliver. Sorry,
I
Scott.
Was, and I yes
by thank 8 years, but that's okay.
Thank you for. I don't know. It was one of those things that was in my head for so long, and I don't know. It might have been because it was the first musical to have won in a little while at that point. I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah. But anyway, thanks for correcting me, and I stand corrected.
Yeah, it's okay. Correction corner. We're starting off today with your pick, Scott. So what did you choose to cover instead of Oliver! Exclamation point. Is your choice?
I went to a super classic. Hmm. This isn't a classic. This is a super classic.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz.
Aww.
Yeah.
I hadn't watched it in such a long time.
It still works for me. I
1939's The Wizard of Oz.
You know... Something that was striking me while watching it is, like, I feel like especially television shows, there's so many TV shows that everyone's like, oh, post-9/11, and this is post-World War II. That was something that kept occurring to me while I was watching
Pre-World
this
War
is
II.
A mid
Or pre, I'm World sorry, War pre-World II. War II.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it's happening. We're 2 years
39.
Before Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Or a year before, yeah. So it's just, like, it's a time.
It's a time.
And... It was a pretty big deal when it came out, but it became a bigger deal as it went on. There was the airings on TV that they would do, I think, around the holidays every year that people would all gather around and watch. That's sort of the story that goes around.
Like, being a wee kid and all the neighbor families were stuffed into the living room all around a little TV.
Right.
By today's standards.
Obviously, it's been put on stage by 1,000 different people, including Andrew Lloyd Webber, who we just covered, who did his own version of this movie sort of on stage with different music. There's obviously the Wiz...
Yeah, which was covered.
1,000 cartoon movies.
Mm-hmm.
based on this.
Return to Oz.
Return to Oz, one of the great
the Nightmare the Nightmare Machine movie. Like,
hey, I love
it. We love you.
I have the VHS somewhere right next to me. Yeah.
I'd always loved this movie, but actually Wizard of Oz was the first high school musical that I was in third grade. They had all the elementary kids play Munchkins. And so I came home from school every fucking day, set up a TV tray, and I would pop in the VHS of this and watched it. So I researched it hard when I was in it.
That's cool. That's cool.
What a loser. No, that's cool. Yeah, this was my first VHS tape. I am a physical media collector now, and so it's always kind of nostalgic to know that here it is. It's right here. I know this is a medium
Look
where
that.
The listeners cannot see it, but this is my first.
I think that's the
VHS
one I had too.
Tape. There it is.
Yeah.
Has not been edited. I don't think they haven't done any remaster to it yet. It's still just MGM home video. And then I also have a steelbook. I'll post a picture of these so people can see. But I have a beautiful steelbook.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Yeah,
that's
absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's.
I remember when that came
Dorothy
out.
Dorothy and the Poppies. It's absolutely
Poppies.
Gorgeous. Poppies. Which, by the way, well, we'll get there. the snow is asbestos. That's all I wanted to say.
I thought of the snow as something else.
I saw it on stage many times because I am from Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This
like
was a
law
big
there. It's state law.
It's
right?
like state law. They produced it, like, I think it was like every 4 years at Music Theater Wichita. And two or three different times it was played by my very close friend, Megan Drew, who is a phenomenal performer. And she performed with the St. Olaf Choir for years. And she's awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
So she, because we were so close, when she would go do her like media tour for the shows, I would go with her and sort of like help her with the Toto dog and things like this. But I have some really vivid memories of being in parades with her, a lot of parades. Specifically, there are some towns in Kansas that celebrate the Wizard of Oz as if they are Dorothy's home. Because technically, I don't think it states
they don't say
where they are.
It, yeah.
So three different places have decided that they are the home of Dorothy. You ready? So we have Liberal Kansas. Which, yes, is an oxymoron. Liberal Kansas, where they have Dorothy's house. It is just a house that kind of looks like Dorothy's. And then in the farm, kind of whatever. And then there's like a museum inside. But it's connected to another museum. It's the Coronado Museum. Because it's like where Coronado and his dudes first went.
Camped out for a night or something.
Yeah, it's some shit like that. And then it's like near a Dalton gang hideout and things like this, right?
Okay, I gotcha.
But that one has been proven that that was just some dude being like, well, since no one knows, I'm just going to say it's Liberal. And he bought the land and did the thing.
Right.
Then there's Wamego, Kansas, which is they have a museum with a lot of the film memorabilia.
Oh, cool.
And then they have a winery called the Winery. Sounds rad. And they do Oztoberfest.
Oztoberfest.
Yeah,
that's
so
fun.
That's supposed to be pretty fun. I've never been. And then you have Sedan, Kansas. I think it's Sedan, S-E-D-A-N. I assume it's Sedan.
Sedan.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have been there because I've been to this Oz festival a few times, and that's where I had done the parade. There's a museum there. There's a yellow brick road that you can follow that follows that sort of runs all the streets of the town, which is fun. And apparently, and this could be hearsay, but apparently some of the Munchkins of the film, who we can talk about later, camped out here and ended up sort of living here as celebrities.
Wow.
For a while in the 60s and 70s, just to like live out their lives and be celebrities in a little Kansas town. So I don't know how true that is, but that's what they said. And great.
We'll take
Sounds
it.
Cool.
I did see the original ruby slippers in the American Smithsonian when I was in D.C. in like 2001 or something.
That's very cool. Very cool. Yeah. They're a big deal. It's considered, apparently some study found that it's the most watched film
ever. Yeah.
Which makes
that
sense,
doesn't surprise
honestly.
It makes sense because it's, you know, it's so iconic and I just wanted to jump on. I remember seeing the original Toto at the Smithsonian stuffed, and I, as a child, was shocked and mortified. At, like, because you kind of round a corner, and it's he's like sitting there on a little platcha, you know, yellow brick road, and he's stuffed, and you're like, ah!
He's such a cute little dog.
Well, you don't want him, the idea that he's dead.
Yes.
I want him to be dead, but yeah. But yeah, I'd read that stat too, that it was the most viewed movie. Cool. And I remember as a child, my grandmother telling me about seeing it in a movie theater for the first time, and the gasps when we go from the sepia to the color, and like people just losing their minds.
And I sent you that video, y'all, that we'll post this on the Instagram. This is so cool. I did not know this. Somebody tagged me in the video. They were like, I know you're covering Wizard of Oz. Check this out. And it was incredible. So basically the moment before it becomes color, it's not Judy Garland in the shot. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a color shot, because it looks like what happens is she steps into frame in black and white in sepia, and mm-hmm. she opens the door and you see Oz for the first time, and it's like really vivid bright colors, right? Mm-hmm. And then she steps through and she's in a blue dress all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So what's actually happening there is it's all painted sepia and black and white inside of her house, and there is a woman, a double, who is painted sepia toned.
Wow.
So her dress, her skin, her hair is all painted, which we'll talk more about painting skin.
Yeah, oh my god, the makeup drama is enough.
Is intense. And you know, there's a lot of legends surrounding a lot of this stuff too, but this was very real. So then they paint her and she steps out of frame. They open the door, it pushes into Oz, and then Judy Garland, wearing a blue dress, steps in, and mm-hmm. And then history is made.
Seamless. It's
absolutely
funny.
Incredible.
It still gets me watching it.
Yeah. It's jaw dropping even to this day. It was interesting. Yeah. I rewatched some of the Lord of the Rings documentaries bonus features recently, and Peter Jackson talks about that shot, and he was like, those were a lot of the tricks that he and the Lord of the Rings team were stealing from, you know, force perspective, you know, tricking the eye into looking one way and another. And he's like, that is one of the most seamless moments ever, and it's so magical, and it's so really simple when you think about how they did it. And
Lord of the Rings is holds hands with Oz in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
Not just because they're based on books, but and they're fantasy, but there's similar themes here.
Sure.
And tones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Friendship and fellowship. Giving to a bigger cause. All of it,
And towers and castles. Scott, do you have Pedias of Scott's? Or are we just...
No, not especially.
Going
I was just going to go over the big stuff and then...
Go over the big stuff and then...
Yeah, you know. 1939 film. I'm sorry.
I still want to do the trait.
Fuck.
You're right. I'm a mess.
You're fired.
Okay, just thought we should all...
Scottpedia.
The Stinger. Amazing stinger. Anyway.
Yes. Stan a stinger. I was calling it a teaser. That's not what I meant. A stinger.
Teaser. Stinger. Stinger teaser. Teaser? Teaser stinger.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz is a 1939 American musical fantasy film produced by MGM. It's an adaptation of L. Frank Baum's 1900 children's fantasy, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. That's the difference there.
Yeah.
It was primarily directed by Victor Fleming, who left to go work on Gone with the Wind. It was a hell of a year for MGM and Victor Fleming. They kind of had all kinds, like, they were both those movies kind of were just switching crews and directors and photographers and the
big
nine yards.
Epics of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it stars Judy Garland, Frank Morgan as the wizard, Ray Bulger as the scarecrow, Bert Lahr as the cowardly lion. Mm. By the way, quick digression. What's the other reason that Bert Lahr is famous? This ties into theater.
Oh, I should know this and I don't.
Was he Tevye or something? I don't know.
No, he was the original Estragon in the first American production of
American. That would make sense.
No shit.
That's cool.
And that's cool as fuck.
And his son is John Lahr, who's a theater critic. I think he was with the New York Times, but isn't any longer. The film also features Jack Haley, Billy Burke, and Margaret Hamilton as the Wicked Witch of the West.
So Margie amazing. Hams.
Yeah.
Myra Gulch. Right? Such a great villain name.
Such a great name. It was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. It ultimately won Best Original Song for Over the Rainbow.
Which is my daughter's favorite song.
Is it?
And I think it's version of it. No, just when we sing it. But I think it's because of the octave.
Ah, yes.
It's a perfect octave. She likes the low to high. The dun, 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 dun. She likes that.
Oh, there we go.
That's cute.
Yeah. And it's considered one of the greatest films ever made. It is, you know, unquestionably magical and still endures. Like, that, I was just sort of, like, giddy. And I'm like, oh, is this pure nostalgia? And I'm like, no, I think these songs are really that good. Those performances are that good. And I'm
they
sure
they are very good performances.
And we'll walk through them all as we go along. But
did y'all ever see Wizard of Oz on ice?
Mm-mm.
No. Like on ice skating? Like the ice capades?
Yeah.
No.
Wizard of Oz on ice.
No.
So it's the movie on ice. And it rules.
Okay.
And I had a Dorothy flashlight.
Whoa.
And a scarecrow something, like sparkler thing. I don't remember. Laser.
Yeah.
And you'd get popcorn, and it was at the Kansas Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
And where the circus would be. And stuff.
Sure, of course.
And you'd go, and I remember one year we got really close tickets.
Yeah.
And there's this song that is in the musical, and I think they shot it for the movie and cut it, and I could be wrong, because there's a lot of edits to the film. It's called The Jitterbug.
Yeah,
it's in the musical. Yeah,
it is in the musical, but I believe was written for the movie and was cut. I could be wrong.
You can hear a recording of it. A recording of it does exist.
There were a lot of edits of the film. Yeah, the film in general got edited. Anyway, I remember the jitterbug really specifically on ice, because they were spraying ice everywhere, and we were like, "Ooh, the jitterbug!"
Yeah,
yeah.
And then, but there was a lot of editing to the film because it was scary.
Yes.
So maybe the jitterbug was scary. I don't know. But it was sort of like Margaret Hamilton's performance was they were like, this is a little scary. So apparently there's a lot of footage of her. It's probably on the steelbook. I haven't ever watched the steelbook. And then there's the tornado. They were like, people are going to be frightened of this tornado because it looked too good.
It looked so good. I'm like, that's better than any CGI. What they did.
Yeah, apparently there's like a lot more of it. So.
And then Dorothy, that idiot, she got so close to the window. You stay away from windows when there's a tornado.
You got it.
You're from Kansas.
Every Midwestern child knows that.
Exactly.
Yeah, all those stories about some of the freaky stuff that happened too. We'll get to some of those legends as well. But it's still so striking to me how those moments work. And I mean, I remember having nightmares as a kid because I'd seen the movie when I was like 3 or 4. My mom read all the books to me, so I'd gone through all the books. And then when I found out that Dorothy was dead, and like that Judy Garland had passed on, it like kind of freaked me out. And like I remember very distinctly having a nightmare about the Tin Man being in a graveyard looking for Dorothy.
Oh my god, and I
was just like, well, I went through a real freaked out. I was really freaked out about graveyards for a while.
So the book is dark. We've talked about that.
Yeah, the book is dark.
The book is dark. The Tin Man story, I think, in particular, right, Scott, is like the really dark one.
Yeah, because they tell the whole process of how he got there. Like
it's an enchanted axe or something, and he cuts off each of his limbs.
It's all done by the Wicked Witch of the East,
right?
Who does all of it. And then then later on we find out, later on in the books, we find out he's got a brother. There's like, he's like a tin sheriff. He's not a woodsman, but he's like a sheriff or something. Best as I can recall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the movie Return to Oz, starring Fairuza Balk.
Yes.
A classic Disney film.
Cult
Disney film.
Almost a cult classic, yeah.
Oh, I love it so much. I do. It's so scary. It's so scary.
The hall really with the heads in the cabinets? Forget about it.
Yeah.
Princess Mumsy or Mumsby, whatever her name is.
Freaked Mumby?
Mumby? Mumsy?
Mumby sounds right.
Mumby.
Mumby.
I don't know. It's cool. Whatever.
It's been a while. I should do a rewatch.
It's scary.
That.
And you have like Pumpkin Jack or whatever. And you have.
With the desert where you hit the sand and you immediately turn into sand.
Scary. The wheelies are scary.
Yeah, it's a scary movie.
Even just like the beginning where they're sort of like, Dorothy's not okay. Let's take her to the mental institution. Lobotomize or whatever. You know, they start doing like.
I want to know what the
electroshock
governmental structure of Oz is. It seems pretty roly poly to me. Like, you know, you got these.
Well, there's a mountain king.
There's a mountain king. There's a wizard. There's all kinds of division. There's a wizard.
A lot of
witches. There's not a wizard. Well, there's four witches. Yeah.
A lot of witches, and they cover different areas of the map.
Yeah,
they got north.
Yeah.
We never meet south, but we can assume there is one.
Yes.
I think in the books you do meet south at some point.
Well, that would
the
make
Witch
sense.
Of the south, but yeah. As I recall.
But I remember the Tin Man sort of, the thing that is the Tin Man, quote unquote, of Return to Oz is this giant copper thing named
TikTok.
And he rules
yes
and then there's a couch with a moose's head attached to it that is sort of like the cowardly lion of the group love it and he like flies maybe I don't know.
They
don't
like put him together he's a talking moose head on the wall and then they tie it to a couch I think we should stop speculating and just fucking watch it again.
I think this is an episode for later in the season no big fan obviously we've covered The Wiz there's the movie Oz the Great and Powerful the Sam Raimi film bad.
Could have been interesting but was
could
bad
have been. Could have been wasn't there's two stories one is myth and one is not and I this is just from growing up that I learned these things and I'm sure everyone has heard these things but these are the ones that we talked about all the time. One is that there was either one of the Munchkins or an angry
crew person
who hung themselves in the back of a shot and that they're hanging in the back.
It's the shot right after the witch shows up and it's a house that's a significant house in the book. She shows up on the roof of this derelict house and she shoots fireballs at the scarecrow. And I think it's when they meet the Tin Man too. But it's supposedly someone hung themselves in the back. Cause I looked at it carefully this time. Cause I've heard that myth a billion times and it's this huge ass fucking bird that they brought in to be on set. And I watched it this time and it's clearly a big bird to me, but.
Well, when you watch it on the old VHS and I'm sure when you were watching it only on TV and it just passed by.
Yeah.
It's like impossible to really know. And people probably were like recording it on TV to watch it and then would like, you know, scroll past and backwards and fast forward and rewind and pause and could never see it for real. So I get how those myths are created. But they were apparently had brought on a bunch of exotic birds, which you never really see in the film.
No, you don't.
But apparently it was just like kind of hanging out on set in the back. And I think it's just a part where they're leaving, where you really see it. They're like going down the yellow brick road, but I could be wrong. But then there were a few really intense things that happened. Like the Tin Man did wear a paint that had aluminum in it.
Oof.
That apparently was extremely toxic.
Yeah.
Well, it was Buddy Ebsen who was originally cast, best known as Jed Clampett from Beverly Hillbillies.
Right.
But he was the original Tin Man, and he literally got put in the hospital because of the makeup. And then Jack Haley, when he took over, he had severe eye reactions where his eyes would like, and you can see it. There's shots where his eyes are clearly like just bloodshot, and he's just like blank and bless his heart. Like
it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we do for our what we do.
Didn't they also have fucking cocaine in their toothpaste back then? So, I mean, it was just sure. a time.
Let's hope sure. so.
I hope so. Margaret Hamilton did get burned pretty badly in one of the scenes. Just a lot of bad things did
I was curious about that red smoke that she always showed up with. I was like, ugh, that can't be good to breathe
probably
in.
Just sulfur.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then her accident happened as that starts. There's a trap door.
Right. That's
that yes. she was, and that's where she got burned real bad. And then, like, even when she wore the makeup so that she would avoid ingesting it in any way, she could mm-hmm. only drink a liquid diet on set. Right. And they were on set a lot.
A lot.
This is like before SAG rules. Like, their right. call times were 4 a.m., and they'd go home at 11. Yeah. PM. So it was nuts.
One thing I wanted to bring up, you know, everyone loves Judy Garland in this role. Everyone loves Judy Garland, period. But every time I see her in something, I'm just always reminded of how sad her life was and how taken advantage she had been her whole life. And if anybody ever wants to, like, learn a little bit more about her, and they talk about Wizard of Oz in it, you must remember this. It's mm-hmm. literally like the fifth episode that came out on June 9th in 2014. It's really good. They talk about the whole studio system and how hard MGM was to work for. And it's just really, it's a very informative and interesting episode. And they go into the Stonewall protests and all that stuff too.
Another great resource for that is Google also.
Yeah. But no, I mean, we should address, you know, the fact that she was straight up abused during this process. She was given pills to go to sleep and given pills to get up. You know, they
given pills to stay skinny.
Her weight was constantly monitored. Her breasts
really
were
temple
bound.
Both. Yeah, there was a lot of and over sexualizing.
And she got pinched and grabbed and molested and God only knows what else. And she was 16 when she was shooting this. So, things weren't going to go well after that. Bless her heart. I hate to use that.
It's also the
cliche,
Renee Zellweger film, which she won an Oscar for.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of
good. I haven't seen that yet.
Amazing. I don't know that it's the perfect, like, homage to Judy, but it definitely shows the impact.
Yeah, and it's a good performance by Renee, too.
My favorite Judy Garland, our friend Matt Valley.
Matt Valley does a great Judy Garland. Oh, yeah.
I haven't engaged with a lot of other Judy Garland, to be honest. I think there's Meet Me in St. Louis.
That's the one I think
there's, of. I'm picturing others, but not that I'm like, this was a big part of my childhood. Like, Wizard of Oz is the one, you know?
Yeah.
She did all those movies with Mickey Rooney, which I remember watching, and, you know, they're kind of fun and dopey, but...
I've seen a lot of clips of her and Liza singing together.
Yeah.
Yeah, something I always think of her, too, and it was something that Matt Valley showed me. It's a video of her in like, a ball gown, and she's barefoot, and she's singing Battle Hymn of the Republic, and it's like... the day of or right after or a couple days after she found out that Kennedy had been killed, because she was really close with the Kennedys. And then she went on television and did this performance and she was crying. But it's such a good Judy Garland. I'm getting chills just thinking of it.
Well, we stan a legend.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it's amazing that she produced someone as amazing as Liza, too. You know what I mean? Like, her. We'll cover Cabaret, the film, at some point, too. That's
so, such a good flick.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Directed by Fosse.
Bob Fosse.
So there's a really great story that I was always told growing up that apparently is true. And I think this is radical if it is. But apparently, while... making the film, they decided they wanted a new coat for Professor Marvel, aka the man who becomes the wizard, right?
Into. Yeah.
And they went thrifting. The costume department sent their people thrifting, and they brought a huge rack back full of coats. And apparently it was over 50 coats. And one of the first few that they tried on, or it might be the opposite, they might have tried on like all of them. Right. And then they finally found one, and they were like, okay, this might be it. And they loved it, and everyone loved it, and they try it on the actor, and they're like, this is, I think this is it, we love it. And apparently on set, he was fiddling with the pockets and he pulled out one of the pockets and stitched inside of it said, "To L. Frank Baum."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Wait, what?" And they called the estate and they were like, the family, and they were like, "Hey, is this a coat that like was made? Like why would this be stitched in there?" And they confirmed that this was something that was a gift to them from like a huge fan of Wizard of Oz that they had like given away. It just ended up in a thrift store in Hollywood. And they had bought it and picked it as like an actual. Yeah, that's kind of so crazy.
Cool. That's cool. Weird. Yeah.
So there was, you know, there were spirits around this production.
Yeah,
in a lot of different ways.
It was haunted in plus ways and negative ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love this movie, though. And I love the musical. I love seeing it on stage.
I have a question, which I'm guessing, Scott, you might know the answer to. What? Where the fuck does the Red Brick Road go to?
I don't remember. I remember that in the books there are multiple roads talked about, but I was always fascinated as a kid. It's like, why don't take the
Where's
Red Brick Road?
Where's the Red One go?
Where does that go?
I even wonder, because I haven't read the Wizard of Oz books. I have read Wicked, though, and I think they do talk about that in there, too, although I don't know how closely connected the lore is.
Yeah, but I think he drew pretty, for those novels, I think he drew pretty carefully from
the orig,
from the originals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's pretty, I mean, overall the book is, or the movie is pretty faithful to the book. The big thing is they take out a lot of the fantasy elements, the idea that it's a, you know, it's all a dream. The book is definitely like, nope, this is a fucking place. This is a real fucking thing. Deal with it. You know, so they kind of pull their punches a little bit because, you know, they were nervous about fantasy.
And you were there. And also you were there. Do you have any favorite lines?
Oof. Let me think real quick.
I have one.
Oh,
it's the
Scarecrow's speech when he finally gets his quote unquote brain. The square root of the da 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 da, when he rattles off the whole yeah. thing. It just always tickles me.
It's actually wrong.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
What he says is incorrect for all triangles. So he's misstating the Pythagorean theorem.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Right. Yeah. So he says the sum of the square roots of any two sides of an isosceles triangle is equal to the square root of the remaining side. That's not true for an isosceles triangle.
That's
right triangles. It's for right triangles.
Fucking scarecrow.
And because he says isosceles, it's actually not true for any triangle. He misstates it completely. So he's an idiot. But it's okay. We still love him.
Yes.
Siege, do you have a favorite line?
Oh man, I'd have to look them up. I didn't write any down. The one thing I did write down was the opening message of the film. That I thought was really nice. For nearly 40 years, this story has given faithful service to the young in heart, and time has been powerless to put its kindly philosophy out of fashion. To those of you who have been faithful to it in return, and to the young in heart, we dedicate this picture. I just got a little emotional reading that.
I like
that. Yeah, it's a really sweet thing, you know.
I like when Dorothy says, "How can you talk if you haven't got a brain?" And he says, "I don't know, but some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't they?"
Yep.
And she says, "Yes, I guess you're right."
Oh man,
timeless. Yeah. I guess timeless. Is what I should be saying.
Ray Bulger was just always left me astounded as a kid.
Yeah,
just that. Which I guess his movement and his, because he was originally cast as the Tin Man and then went and said, no, I have to be the Scarecrow because I've been practicing the bit. So when the show was originally done as a play, which was done as a play on Broadway in the early 1900s, it was to promote the book. It was a sort of cross promotional thing. And I forget the actor's name, but the vaudevillian actor who played the Scarecrow was flipped and flopped all over stage.
Crap
and Ray
balls.
Bulger. Yeah, and Ray Bulger had seen it, and that's what he was riffing on. It was a pure influence thing. And his joints, I wonder how his knees were in his later years. Oh my God, like he's just, but he's light as a feather. Like you can just see, like it's fantastic. He was a fantastic dancer too on top of it, but what great movement. Ah, I still am just like captivated by that performance, and that makeup is all cool as shit. Man, I geek out on this thing.
Something new I learned this time around, because I was just IMDBing around while I was watching it, was I found out that the Cowardly Lion costume was made of a real lion pelt.
What?
It weighed 100 pounds, and the tail was moved by a fishing line that was controlled by a stagehand sitting on the catwalk above the sound stage. Because if you notice, his tail flips around the whole time. And I was like, wait, how? What did they do? Is it attached to his costume? So I just thought that was real funny.
Yeah. I played the Cowardly Lion.
It's a good role. I mean, they're pretty damn good. And I love the Scarecrow, but the Cowardly Lion, I think ever since I was a kid, was my favorite character.
Yeah, you just love him. And he's, you know, I guess that. So the story that I read was that when he does his intro, when he jumps out for the first time, that Judy kept giggling. They think primarily because of the pills they were giving her. But she couldn't stop giggling, so they had to cut and cut and cut. And finally, the director went up and slapped her across the face, like in front of everybody. And then by the end of the day, felt so bad about it that he made a crew member punch him to make him feel better. And it was just like, I don't know if that's true or not.
Right.
But like,
well, and when asked, Judy would say, also, I couldn't help but laugh whenever Margaret would try to be scary. It was hard to be scared by her because she was so kind to me off
yeah.
set.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no.
Well, and then the story about her and her Sesame Street appearance years later, she came on Sesame Street dressed as the Wicked Witch of the West, was so intense that they've shelved it. You can't see it anymore. Yeah. Like, you can't
see it
because
see it.
She scared the kids so bad on Sesame Street. But
her
apparently,
entrance is very scary. I remember that scaring the crap. Her and then the talking apple trees that throw apples at them.
Oh, yeah.
Always scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
I guess they based a lot of the Ent design on. For Lord of the Rings. On,
see?
On
really?
The,
yeah, yeah. They hold hands,
I love it,
I'm telling you.
But I love the ants. They're sweet.
Well, of course, but, you know.
I also, I was a big fan of the Horse of Many Colors.
Oh, yeah.
And anything involving the Emerald City. Once we're at the Emerald City, I'm like, this is the shit.
Because, it's so intense. And then,
which is what Wicked does so well is, like, the one short day and everything. Like, with,
we
get to visit the Emerald City and we're, like, in it.
Yes,
the world that we're in, which is really fun.
Yes.
And Frank Morgan just playing all of the characters leading into the, and he's so hilarious. Great in all of them. The one with the mustache and the tears coming down. He's like, come in.
The horses, by the way, the Emerald City horses were colored with Jell-O crystals.
Oof.
And they were, it was multiple
horses.
Horses
would just lick it off. And I was like, Jell-O is made from horse.
It's fucked up.
You made them cannibals.
Horse hooves,
you made them cannibals.
Is this about the time? This is me completely guessing. Is this about the time the Jell-O was becoming kind of like a popular thing anyway?
Probably wartime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, depression. It was a cheap food, so it was.
Right.
It grew during the 30s.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that kind of made me laugh throughout the movie was I kept noticing that Toto is kind of the hero a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Until he chases after that cat at the end, and all of a sudden Dorothy can't go home.
Yeah, yeah.
She has to chase after him.
Right.
No, and that scene where she sends him off is just...
He's such a good boy.
Oh, yeah.
He's credited in the credits as being named Toto for real, and he's not. It's a female dog named Terry.
I was for years afraid of hourglasses. Sand dripping through it. I was always like paranoid.
It's a scary
about
hourglass.
It. Like even for like little games like Boggle or whatever. It's like, we
gotta figure out what phobia that is. I'm looking it up.
Someone else I think we should discuss before we talk songs real quick. Someone else we should discuss is the Munchkins themselves.
Yes, yes.
Because I know that they weren't treated super perfectly on this film.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of them enjoyed the time and afterwards, like being known for that forever. It was they were portrayed by a group that at the time was known as the Singer Midgets. Not named for their singing ability, but because their manager's name was Leo Singer. Most of them were from Europe. Yeah, most of them were Jewish. A lot of them actually went with the Singer group because they were trying to escape the Nazis, like straight up.
Wow.
So freaking rad.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and most of their voices are dubbed because they're they're just kind of moving their mouths because they couldn't speak English. Some of them could, but like barely. And there's only two of them that speak with their real voices, and it's the ones who give Dorothy the flowers after she climbs into the carriage.
Right now.
So that's all I know.
Yeah, like the Lollipop Guild guys, those they aren't.
Yeah, that's
all
dubbed.
I was in the Lullaby League.
I love it.
We talked about the snow being asbestos.
Yeah.
That's what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny because I'm like, oh, the opium puts them to sleep and then the cocaine wakes them up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just asbestos.
Shit.
Yeah, they just weren't. Yeah. I mean, you know, the fact that there was aluminum in the makeup, like, they just didn't know in 1938.
They were all just 39. Surrounded by lead.
Yeah.
Like,
drinking it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Eating it. Yeah, it was in their lunches. No, I don't know if that's true. But they were.
What are your songs? Who are your songs?
Listen, Somewhere Over the Rainbow is just a masterpiece. Like even other recording and other versions of it, but she just also just sticks and nails the shit out of it so well. And it's
they
so
almost
beautiful.
Cut Somewhere Over the Rainbow out of the film.
Because it's why?
Because it slows the narrative gets slowed down right at the beginning.
There's too much in Kansas. We need to get to Oz quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thankfully somebody had the sense to go now.
It's literally thematically the most perfect song ever because then she goes to the place with color, the rainbow. Like right. It's like
goes somewhere over the rainbow.
Come on. Yeah. Come on,
and
MGM.
It's a beautiful theme that they continue to use throughout the movie too.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a 6-year-old still, and If I Were King of the Forest is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I adore that. And yeah, I adore If I Only Had a Brain.
Yes.
The Tin
That's
Man
my
song, If I Only Had a Heart. Eh, it's not quite
it's the
as
same
great.
Tune.
Only Had a Brain is my one. Yeah. I also really love, I think it's nostalgic. My dad would just do it constantly. He'd go, oh, yeah. It's drilled into my brain.
The joke in my house was Oreos.
No,
yes.
We did that too.
Yes.
We did that too. That must have just been an American staple of,
you know,
inside joke. Yeah.
But yeah, and you can totally see as they go into the witch's castle that, again, Lord of the Rings is just like ripping it off, just that lead in and the way that the arch appears and the light that's coming out.
Yeah.
And it's totally Mordor. And,
yeah.
And all those guard costumes are really amazing. Those
They're
long
really cool.
coats.
They look hot as fuck.
Oh
they
my do. God. And apparently that was Russian another big issue was because of the color photography, they had to have an insane amount of lighting in the studio in California. And
none of its location, it's all on soundstage.
On soundstage. Yeah. And so you get to the temperature in there was constantly 100 degrees plus. And so people, the little people, the munchkins especially, like would regularly just sort of pass out.
Yeah.
just heat stroke and dehydration.
The last thing I wanted to say about the Munchkins, the little people, is that they were paid $50 per week for a 6-day work week.
Fuck.
Toto received $125 a week.
Wow. Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well,
interesting.
Life in Hollywood, I guess, but still. Yeah.
But then there's also, we've talked a lot about the horrible things that happened, but Terry, the dog playing Toto, apparently got stepped on by one of the castle guards at one point and had to take like a 2-week vacation to get better, and they brought in a different dog. Yeah, and then there was like some of the flying monkeys, their cables snapped and they all fell like over 6 feet and hurt themselves.
Oh, shit.
And, I mean, it was just, you know, old Hollywood being old Hollywood, I think.
Studio
in a lot of
system.
Ways.
Yeah.
And we're also like just sort of inventing tricks to pull off this magic. It was like, oh, how do we make monkeys fly? Fuck, man. I don't know. Yeah. Put them up on the ceiling, like put them on a rope. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't see the rope. Oh, we'll make it a thinner rope then. Until, you know, and yeah, they weren't afraid to abuse people back then. You know, especially all those contract, all those folks were contract players, and they really just didn't have a choice. You know, Margaret Hamilton, like, you know, it was just a gig. She just got the assignment.
Do y'all know anything more about her? Because I think I always seem to remember my mom talking about, like, she didn't have a very happy life.
Well, she definitely got, you know, typecast and pigeonholed. She had a little bit of a comeback in the 70s because she was the Folger coffee spokesperson.
No shit. All right.
Yeah, there was a whole series of commercials, and she was, by that point, was older and so came across as a kindly old lady as opposed to the Wicked Witch. But no, I don't know. But I don't know much about her. That she was incredibly kind. You know, she was, you know, she saw what Judy was being put through, and was just like,
they were grateful to have each other on set.
She needs a friend, you know.
Yeah.
And being an older woman and recognizing, you know, just
the bullshit that happens,
and being in tuned with it. So.
It's kind of this weird thing, too, and I think it's being a farm kid, and the whole concept of the movie is, you know, you don't have to go far away, like, there's no place like home, but also that you can trust adults, because something that always warmed my heart was, even when she's not in Oz, how close she is with the guys that work on Uncle Henry's farm.
Right.
And the whole idea of trusting adults, and the whole experience of the film was just adults being horrible to her.
Well,
and there's a read of this where it's like, at the beginning she's like, I want to go somewhere else. Kansas, there's not, you know, there's better places to be. There's, you know, I could be in a magical world. She goes to the magical world, finds out it's actually not so great here. You know, there's still bad things here, and she just wants to be home, and she's homesick. She goes home and she's like, home is the best place to be. I could read that as like, that's, I disagree with that.
Yes.
Right? Like, as someone who literally moved from Kansas to Oz, to L.A., like, it's like, I'm like, no, I don't agree with that. I think there's no place like making a home where you are. Mm-hmm. I think that's true. But, like, sometimes Oz is the home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
My mom told me the first year she went away from college, she watched this movie once a week and cried. And it reminds me of my freshman year in college, which sucked, and I was very, very homesick. Finding Nemo came out that year.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And just cried the entire time I watched that movie, too.
Your movie blanket. Your movie blanket. You know, yeah, we all need that. We should real quick mention the description, the TV listing, which is one of my favorite bits ever.
Yes.
I can't remember now the whole story, but this was done by an editor for a listing of an airing of The Wizard of Oz on Turner Classic Movies. I think this was in the 90s, maybe early 2000s. But the description is, do you want to do it, Siege?
Yeah, I'll do it. Transported to a surreal landscape, a young girl kills the first person she meets and then teams up with three strangers to kill again.
Yes. That's the real story.
It's a brilliant take. It's just a fantastic take and a hilarious thing to notice in a newspaper just randomly, like scrolling through. This is a different Wizard of Oz than I'm aware of.
But CJ, do you have your own breakdown version
of
this?
Yeah, I do.
Or is that it?
No, I had that as the second half of the breakdown.
Well, let's hear yours real quick.
Yeah, okay.
CJ's breakdown.
When a tornado rips through Kansas, Dorothy and her dog Toto are blown away to the Land of Oz, where her house lands directly on the Wicked Witch of the East. In need of help to escape her angry surviving sister, the Wicked Witch of the West, and return home, Dorothy sets off to the Emerald City to speak to the wizard. Along the way, she makes friends with the Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Lion, who are in need of help as well. Might they help one another?
Nice.
You know, yeah. Something that again, watching this film, and then also, I automatically think of Wicked, that I love that Wicked handles, and it made me think of Into the Woods, too, is everything in this is so black and white. There's good mm-hmm. and there's evil. Mm-hmm. But then when you go into Wicked, it's like, well, you killed her sister. Like, and it's right. like in Into the Woods, it's like, yeah, giants have families and yeah. feelings too, and you right. killed her husband. Yeah.
Well, and that's sort of what Wicked is for, and that's what Into the Woods is for us to re-examine these stories that we tell, where we just tell them matter-of-factly as like, and this is good and this is bad,
yeah.
right? And especially it's like, well, sometimes it's not true.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And I like that. I think that's a good use of...
It's a good way to riff on something
yeah.
and mm-hmm. to modernize it and make it accessible and play with myth, if you will.
Yeah.
Myth. Yeah.
Yeah. This came out 2 years after Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool.
That's really
you
cool.
You kind of think of those being
evil,
in the same.
Good and
yeah.
evil.
Yeah, and kind of similar, written in the same font in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Here's a bit of trivia for you that kind of relates to that. You know, in the song If I Only Had a Heart, there's a moment where you hear a voice out of nowhere say, "Wherefore art thou, Romeo?"
Yeah.
I think her name is Adriana Casalotti. She is the voice of Snow White. And she was paid $1,000 for that one line.
Holy shit.
That was more than all the
she
little
was
people
a
and
star
Toto.
By that point. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, right? Bailey, what's your favorite song? We kind of digress.
Yeah.
I like the Oreo. I like the I don't know. There's not a lot of music in the back half.
No. Mm. No, the musical kind of stops after Emerald City.
I was trying to think of like what later do I really like? And there really isn't anything. There's nothing there. I love the I forget how it goes now, but the song that they sing when they enter Oz.
Oh. Na 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 na. Or is it
you mean
blah,
when
blah,
they...
blah, 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 that's how we pass the day.
Dun, 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 yeah. dun, 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 dun.
There
or
is another
Merry Old Land of Oz. Merry
yes.
Old Land of Oz.
It's fun.
I used to play that on the piano when I was young, and I love that song. That's a good song.
That other song is when they're coming into the Land of Oz. I swear to God, it's women that are singing it. It's a higher part.
No, I know what you're talking about.
No, yeah. Not that. The other one.
I always used Mary to freak Oliver. Out about lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my.
Lions
That's a fun
and tigers
one.
And bears. Oh, my. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
It's not really a song, though.
No.
It's a good chant.
It's a chant. It's a walking chant.
That I think probably gets said 5 billion times a day in America.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Right? Just like on average.
Yeah.
Do you think that they got the crows for Oz straight out of Hollywood? Because that's what they reminded me of. There's just crows in Oz that are, like in the woods leading to the witch's castle that are just screaming. And I was like, boy, it sounds like I'm walking down Hollywood Boulevard right now.
They probably just had a wrangler who went out and got them.
Yeah.
Went out and got them. They're easy to train. The crows are very
I want
smart.
A pet crow, y'all, but it's illegal to have a pet crow in California. No,
is it illegal to have a pet raven?
Yes, crows and ravens.
Yeah.
Ravens are super... Why?
All the fun pets are illegal in California. I've looked it up.
Ferrets.
Ferrets, owls.
Y'all are animal abusers.
I don't want to abuse them. I
yes, you
care
do.
Them.
I wanted to stand on my shoulder and just go, at people.
No, I agree with you.
He's not
going to
do that. They would hate that life. They would hate that life.
Yeah. Maybe it wouldn't.
It would.
I'd
with you?
Shrimp.
With you?
I'd give it cocktail shrimp.
Fuck you.
I'd let it eat all my fun table food. Be a happy crow. Put in a little vest. Give it a little watch chain.
Sure.
Should we talk about Dark Side of the Rainbow?
Yeah.
I still want to do this.
We can still do it.
We can totally still do it.
We have to eat mushrooms.
But yes. Like,
right, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and, yeah, that was a big thing. When did that start? I'm going to look it up.
You're about to go down a rabbit hole because, like, there's not a lot of certainty of it. But pretty sure that some stoner kids in the 80s figured it out once it came out on home video.
How do you find something out like that? Because you have to start it at, like, the third lion roar in the MGM opening thing.
Yeah, and the other thing that, and that is even debatable. Now, there's some that say hit play right as the lion roars for the first time.
This is how it happens, okay, in my opinion. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Natalie and Jay, our good friends who were on our Stop Making Sense episode, which, by the way, Stop Making Sense is getting a 4K remaster.
I'm so excited.
We're all going to go see it in theaters. And
outing.
Totally.
Yeah, we'll go to the AMC Universal. It'll be great. But they watch movies side by side all the time.
Mm.
Yes.
Because, just to do it. Like, just to see, like, how they line up. And they play games that way where they, like, put two movies on at the same time and just see, like, what lines up, what doesn't, when they look at each other, when, you know, stuff like this. I think this stoner kids are doing something similar where they're like playing a movie with the sound off and they're playing a record in the background and they're smoking doobies and they're chilling. Mm. And at one point, one of them goes, "This is kind of lining up,
guys."
And then they all go, "It's totally lining up." And then it becomes a thing, and it's like, it just like spreads like wildfire among stoner community. And then at some point, all the lore starts becoming like, well, you have to start it at this exact roar, and then it lines up perfectly, because then people start experimenting and they start watching as many different versions of, okay, if I start it here, how does it line up best? Okay, if I start it here, does it line up better? And then at some point, you find it. I've done it a few times. You do. You start seeing things. You start being like, holy fuck, that downbeat happened right when the poof smoke
happened. Oh, my God, come on.
And you're like,
there are moments that are absolutely like, holy shit.
But it's like 10% out of 90.
There are periods 100%. Where you're just like, all right, this is kind of visually cool. And it goes, because they go into the whole, I forget what the psychological phrase is, but it's when your brain deletes data in order to create patterns. So even though you know that it's not, like, your brain's telling you that it is.
Yes.
Here it is. I found the history. You ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. In 1995, August 1995, I'm turning 5.
I was turning 11.
Okay.
I was older.
The Fort Wayne Journal Gazette published an article by Charles Savage suggesting that readers watch the 1939 film The Wizard of Oz while listening to the 1973 Pink Floyd album The Dark Side of the Moon. Savage said the idea was first shared on an online Pink Floyd news group. So this is online, right? Mm, this is where this happens. According to Savage, if you start the album as the MGM lion roars for the first time on screen, the result is astonishing. It's as if the movie were one long art film music video for the album. Song lyrics and titles match the action and plot. The music swells and falls with characters' movements. Expect to see enough firm coincidences to make you wonder whether the whole thing was planned.
How QAnon was created.
The group says they're like, no, we didn't plan that. It's very cool, very interesting, but that's not the goal. There's some thematic, like, obviously rainbows and like all that. Like, we're doing stuff that's Wizard of Ozzy, but that's not the point.
No, Nick Mason, who was the drummer of Pink Floyd, at one point was just just exhausted at being asked the question. He's like, no, fucking no, we didn't do it to the Wizard of Oz. Pause. We did it to the Sound of Music. Like, line that up. And drops the mic and walks away. And so I'm sure people went and tried it. The other thing that occurred to me as I was kind of thinking through the history of all this, because it's like, oh, it had to have been... It couldn't have happened before CDs, because you would have had to have stopped, if you had vinyl, you would have had to have stopped and flipped it and started it, and that would have thrown off
the
same pattern. Same with the cassette tape.
And then we should also say the other big reason why we know that that it's bullshit that Pink Floyd did it on purpose is because you have to listen to the album 2.5 times to get all the way through the movie.
Right. Right.
Like it doesn't, it's not that perfect, but it's fun. It's fun to do every once
it
in a while.
It is fun.
Because Dark Side of the Moon is an amazing album and sure. Wizard of Oz is gorgeous. So
yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Is Dark Side of the Rainbow theater?
I've seen it in a theater with people. I've watched it and done it.
And you would consider that theater based on the definition that we are discussing and debating?
You could call it immersive. You could call it, I guess, not quite performance art, but video art.
I would almost say the lore and the ritual around it is certainly theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a question I think we need to start asking every episode is like, is the thing we're talking about theater and why is it theater?
Right.
Right? Because, like, we kind of left that out with, like, School of Rock. Because it's, like, obvious. It's, like, well, obviously, School of Rock is theater. It's a musical. But it's, like, is it theater? Like, is taking a movie and putting it on stage theater? Or is that
I think it's
else?
A type of theater, I think, for sure.
I don't know. I'm being pretentious just for fun.
No, there,
it's fun.
But there's something theatrical about having to do it from top to bottom, and you have to deal with whatever comes up. Mistakes, people forgetting things going wrong.
Does something
or
being
maybe
live
perfectly.
Make it theater?
I think that, yes, a live element is part of theater. That doesn't mean you can't stream it necessarily or
so are movies theater?
They're an extension of theater.
I remember,
the first things people did was try and make plays.
My first theater history class, our teacher stood up in front of us and he said, "What do you need for theater? What are the only things you need for something to be theater?" And the answer is a person or people doing something and then an audience watching them.
I would disagree with that.
Oh, well.
Oh, I think
I don't know. I kind of agree with you.
I think the only thing you need for theater is an audience. I don't even think you need performers. I think performers want to believe that they are the thing that makes theater, but I don't think that's what necessarily makes theater because I think you could do theater of sound and not have any performer.
Hmm. Interesting.
You could do theater of mechanics and have it be.
Yeah, you know. I think you could say that. I think also what my theater history thing was going, because the first thing we studied, not even the Greeks, we studied shamanism because it started with the passing down of stories about religions and it took the shaman and the people listening.
Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think in these days terms, you could say that. That it could be an audio thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be a person or a performer.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like, is going to see Rocky Horror and having audience members act out Rocky Horror in front of the screen. Is that theater?
Yeah.
Or is that a movie experience?
It's church. It's ritual. It's a lot of stuff. It's magic. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when you're joining in with the performers up there.
Right.
Sure.
Or engaging with whatever's on screen to be. Yeah. I mean, when we went to see Cocaine Bear, that was some fucking theater in there of people reacting to
and being
cocaine
communal.
Being wasted or a bear being insane. Like,
that was
theater.
Good times.
It was so much fucking fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
I could talk about this ritual shit.
We should go back to the Toothsome Chocolate Emporium.
We got so many things on the menu to try.
We got a lot to try.
Yeah.
I think we should go back next week.
Okay.
Let's do it.
See another movie.
Yeah, there's some good stuff coming out soon that I want to see. I mean, there's some stuff I want to see now, but there's some.
Is there anything else you wanted to say about The Wizard of Oz?
The coroner slaps. I like the coroner.
The coroner.
Yeah.
With the hat,
she's
the curly
not only hat. Really dead, she's really most completely dead.
That one.
Totally. I think it'll be interesting to see where this movie is when it hits its 100th anniversary, which isn't crazy far away. We should all be around to see it.
There's
nothing. And see how it endures, but I think that there's just something magical about it for all of the drama and all of the mystery and mythology about the movie and the book and this, how it was all put together. They captured lightning in a bottle, and it's infinitely watchable and delightful and
charming.
Yeah,
it's a movie you could show kids now and they would love it.
Well, and it is a perfect family film. It's a film that an adult can watch with their child and enjoy just as much, as opposed to just sort of getting through it, or, you know,
sitting through Peppa Pig or Paw Patrol.
You know, something like that. But I mean, certainly most Disney movies, classic Disney movies, do that. But Wizard of Oz just does it. And the cinematic magic that we kept talking about, the tornado, the flying monkey,
which is
tail.
Just like muslin. It's just being slung
simple
around.
Stuff is still is so much more visually astonishing than, you know, CGI is these days. So, yeah,
I will say that farm has the cleanest pig pen ever. She falls over in the pig pen and she doesn't have anything on her.
Yeah, right.
I need to speak to their props manager, their set dresser.
I'll call him.
We need mud in the pig pen.
Have you ever seen a show where they put like a play on stage where they use mud or dirt or?
I've just done Metamorphosis, and that was a swimming pool
with water.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I saw a Grapes of Wrath one time.
I was in a Grapes of Wrath one time.
They had to bury people, or they like planted things and stuff, and they would open up the stage and then there was dirt and down in a pool down there, and they would just shovel it out. It was pretty cool.
We had a river. We had it rain on stage, which was really fucking cool to be a part of.
When I saw Take Me Out, they had, since there's so many scenes in the shower, they lowered down a shower bar on stage, and then there were drains in the stage, and they just showered. Lots of handsome naked men on stage.
Love that. Y'all have anything else you want to say about The Wizard of Oz? I just asked that, but I'm double checking.
No.
Final.
I'm thinking.
Final
I'm done.
Check.
Yeah.
I hadn't sat down and watched it in a really long time, and
it's so fun.
It's a great movie. Always a great movie,
and a great
now
show to
I
see on stage.
Return.
It's so fun to see on stage. I just had a memory flashback. At Music Theater Wichita, when my friend was playing Dorothy, I was very young, and I got to see a dress rehearsal for the first time in my life of a major theater, big, you know, 6,000-seat house theater.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember the tornado going wrong, and they had to pause, and I remember being like, this is awesome, because I got to see how it sort of happened, and everything went backwards and reset and everything. Very cool.
That's cool.
Very, very cool. Great memory.
Let's get out of here.
Yes.
Yeah. Spotlight? Are we spotlighting stuff?
Yeah.
We are, yes.
Let's spotlight LA Theater.
LA Spotlight.
CJ, what do you want to spotlight?
I've just got one. It's the one I've been pushing this whole time. Gifted at Loft Ensemble through Sunday, April 2nd. Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 7. Yep. Loftensemble.org.
Yeah. Mine is Casey Rogers, friend of the pod, who was the lead in Gifted at Sacred Fools when Gifted was at Sacred Fools. She's doing a one-woman show called I Sell Windows that she wrote and is performing. And it's April 21st at 8 p.m. at the Greenway Court Theater, and it's one night only.
I bought two
tickets.
What
if
night
either
again?
One of you wants my other one, you're welcome to have it. It is April 21st at 8 p.m.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll be going to that and check it out. I know nothing about it except that it's her and she's incredible. So
she's an amazing
enjoy it
actress.
Way. Yeah,
absolutely. I've got three spotlights from around town. Picasso at the Lapine Agile is going to be running through April 2nd at the Ruskin Theater Group in Santa Monica. So check it out at ruskintheatergroup.com. Happy Birthday, McKenna. New play, getting some nice reviews at the Hudson Backstage Theater. It's running through March 26th.
Have you ever seen anything at the Hudson Backstage?
I have, yeah.
I have.
It's kind of cool. It's small, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's small, but
I like
cool.
It.
But that's running through March 26th as well. Check it out at hbmtheplay.com. Again, getting.
I had a really bad HBM last night. If I'm being honest.
And then finally,
on a scale of one to Anthony Hopkins, it was a
full Nila Butte.
Full Nila Butte.
Finally, we have Come Get Maggie at the Matrix Theater. It's Rogue Machine at the Matrix Theater, just to be clear. That's running through March 26th as well. RogueMachine.org. Again, getting great reviews. Go check it out.
That's right.
That's all I got. That's what I have.
That's all we got. Thank you for joining us for part one of four of our miniseries covering original movie musicals. We did this... maybe like 3 years ago now, we did one of these.
Yeah, my pick was the South Park movie.
I don't remember what else we did.
I can't remember.
That wasn't Greatest Showman, was it?
It might have been. Yeah, Greatest Showman. Tommy, maybe?
Tommy and Jesus Christ Superstar, right?
No, because that was a musical first. That was my first pick for
We did do that,
musicals that are movies.
You're right.
I don't know. Okay. We'll think of it.
I have it here.
Check the archives.
But join us next week because we are covering my pick, which I'm extremely excited about.
Yeah.
We're covering Labyrinth.
I have not watched it in forever. It's
one of the great films.
Yeah, I'm excited to re-explore
David
that.
Bowie, Jim Henson, Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Did you find it, Siege?
Many more. Yeah.
I'm gonna get there. But
you're gonna get there.
Yeah.
One of these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Found it.
What?
It was
Greatest Showman.
Come on, Greatest Tommy. Showman. Oh my God, my fucking computer.
South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
Yep.
Scott, are you uncut?
What? No, I am cut.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah.
Oh, High School Musical.
Duh.
Right.
That was the Pam pick. Yeah. So we're covering Labyrinth. Then we'll be covering Pam's pick, Moulin Rouge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then, which now is a stage show. And then we will be covering Rocket Man, the Elton John movie musical that
one of my favorites.
I made CJ go see with me, and then is the now one of her favorite films of all time. Yeah. Good times. I think we saw it at the Arclight Cinerama Dome.
We went to the one in Burbank. You were like, the parking here is way easy. We can get high in my car.
That was dope sauce. Good times, y'all.
Yes.
That's all I got. See?
All right. Y'all got questions, comments? Let us know your great memories about Wizard of Oz. You can reach out to us via email, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Scott?
Thank you, CJ. A big shout out to Ryan Thomas Johnson, who wrote our theme song. And our fucking theme song is better than your fucking theme song.
It's also more bitter than your theme song.
And it's bitter.
It's a bit of better butter. Yeah.
Ryan also writes all of our stingers. He's an amazing human being. Finally, to the great award-winning playwright, Carol Churchill, who writes every single one of our episodes, and she doesn't even know it. And one day, Carol Churchill, we're going to buy you a beer.
We sure will. Subscribe, rate, and review. It helps a lot.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Yes.
Deuces.
Deuces.
We're off to see the wizard.
Uh-huh. The wonderful Wizard of Oz.
One short day in the Emerald City. One short day full of so much to do. Every way that you look in the city, there's something exquisite you'll want to come visit before the day's through. It's wicked.
Meow.
Later, everybody.
Different. Different, but same. All right, later, everybody.
The theater, the theater. Theater.